When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Warning, each episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast will contain descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature and are for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. These facts I'm retelling were presented to me by the victims of the crime or the perpetrators who committed the crimes. My descriptions of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you are going to get offended, turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And I'm your host, Woody Overton. Today, we're going to be doing the next part in the Screwdriver Red series, and it's titled Justice for Caitlin. Before we start, I want to say stay tuned at the end of the show. And as always, I'm going to be giving some shout outs to our fans and making some announcements about some exciting things we have coming up. And also, we'll be doing a promo at the end of the announcements for a podcast called Genuine Chit Chat and the host Mike Burton. So y'all stay tuned for that and check it out at the end. Okay. So when I left you last, Mark Lewis had been arrested, charged first degree murder of Caitlin Adel. And approximately a month later, maybe a month and a week, I think it was the first week of March, we had a grand jury on Caitlin's case. You know, the grand jury, y'all, is a secret meeting of 12 people. It's run by the district attorney, and the district attorney puts on evidence of what they have, and they let the jury decide what to come back and charge the person with. And so we did it, testified, been testified, basically to the same facts that y'all have heard already, and the grand jury returned with an indictment of second-degree murder, which, y'all, that's a still mandatory life in prison for Mark Lewis if he gets convicted. Now, death penalty, I think it's warranted in this case. Certainly I do. And I think probably every person that sat on that grand jury thought the same thing. But to be technically fair, it's probably a really hard one to do, to get the death penalty in this case, not because it's not a horrific crime, because it is, but all the evidence we had was what they call circumstantial evidence, right? We didn't have anybody to put Mark Lewis and Caitlin together that day physically, that saw them together. We didn't physically, for sure, have the positive crime scene. I mean, everything we have is circumstantial, but it was good circumstantial. So today we're going to talk about the time from when Mark Lewis was locked up, go into the trial and see how far we can get. The first thing I would like to talk about is Caitlin Adell. And y'all, she was 13 years old and lived with her mom, and just everybody loved her. Her funeral was held that week after she was found in the bayou, and it was a sea of pink. Everybody had pink on, pink ribbons, pink shirts. Miss Danette, the mom, said one little girl came up to her at the wake and handed her a pink softball that was signed by all the players, and she thought it was one of Caitlin's teammates on the French settlement team. But later on, when she got home, she realized that was a softball from a whole nother town. It's called Springfield, Louisiana. That was from their softball team, and it's really reached out and touched people, the death of this sweet baby girl. And I told you, my own daughter was the same age, and her name was Kate Lee. Yeah, so it was kind of, I'd worked a lot of homicides and stuff, but this one's just always been tough. And the mom is such a sweet lady, Miss Danette. I think the overwhelming support from the community, it just came out and just absolutely supported Miss Danette Adell and the family members in their time of grief. And the whole community came together. It's such a testimony to the people down here, not only in South Louisiana, but from all over. I mean, she had people from all over the world sending her stuff, and certainly all over the United States. But it laid Caitlin to rest, and it didn't stop there. Somebody put together a bass tournament. I don't remember who it was, but they put together a bass tournament, and it raised like $8,000, I think, for Caitlin's funeral expenses. If you don't know what a bass tournament is, you live outside the country, it's a tournament, a fishing tournament, and it's a certain type of fish they fish for. Each boat usually has two people in it, and they charge you an admission fee per head. And whoever has the most weight of fish at the end of the tournament, whether it's one day or two day, they win the prize money at the end. But just that tournament alone raised a lot of money. And then in May, 4 days or 3 or 4 days before what would have been Caitlin's 14th birthday, they put on a huge benefit for at a place called the Moonlight Inn. And the Moonlight Inn is right in the heart of the French settlement country, if you will. It's a mainstay, long-term running, I call them swamp bars, but everybody knows about the Moonlight. And there have been a lot of famous people that have played there over the years. And it's a local watering hole. And man, the owner, and they really put it out. And he had all these small businesses came out and donated stuff. There was food. There was jambalaya, spaghetti, hamburgers, hot dogs, snacks, cakes, whatever. I think they said they sold like, I don't know, 300 or 400 plates of jambalaya. And they sold all the food, like 250 spaghetti boxes. And one lady that had donated a cake, they had an auction also, and one lady donated a cake. Her coconut cake sold for $100. Another restaurant, I think it's closed now, Dutch's Seafood, they had some $50 gift certificates they donated, and they sold for like $100 each. So people were paying way above and beyond just because they could. Budweiser sponsored it. Miller Lite sponsored it. They had Budweiser coolers that were going for $500 at the auction, and just can't really say enough about what the people did to support Caitlin. And so what did Miss Danette do? This is a lady who lost her only child. And I'm a father of four, man, and I can't even fathom it, right? And she lost her only child in the most horrific way possible, and goes to show her character. What does she do? She takes that money from the fundraiser and establishes a scholarship in Caitlin's name to be given away to two French settlement high school seniors, one that's shown the most improvement in basketball and one that's shown the most improvement in softball when they graduate. And Ms. Danette said, I'm going to make sure I'm part of the process. And I don't want them to give it to the best player. I want them to give it to the most improved player, because Caitlin wasn't the best player, but she worked hard every day to be better and better at it. And she loved softball and basketball. And Ms. Danette said she wanted the scholarship to go on year after year. And it was going to be funded by the recurring bass tournaments and benefits that are put on by the Moonlight and them every year for sweet little Caitlin. So that's to the character of Ms. Danette. God bless her, be able to step up and turn the tragedy into a blessing for other people's lives for years and years to come. But meanwhile, let's get back to the case. Okay. So Lewis is locked up. What happens detective wise? Well, I told you we did the search warrant on his residence and took his computer. So it's being gone through forensically, right? And the phone records are being looked at on Caitlin's end, and the truck is being processed. We know they've found some blood and some blonde hairs in the truck, but that has to be identified by DNA. And I believe to help expedite the process, part of it was actually sent out to a private lab because the state police were just so backed up with the DNA. And other witnesses are coming forward and giving statements about Lewis and pretty much his depravity, what a piece of shit he was. And I'll go into that in a little while when we're talking about the trial. So the case proceeds and you have your usual motions and just typical bullshit. But the one thing I won't forget about it is every time there was a hearing about Caitlin's case, that courtroom was flooded with pink. The people showed up, Justice for Caitlin shirts and shirts with Caitlin's face on it. And everybody showed up and packed the house to support Ms. Danette. And that son of a bitch walked in. And for those hearings, it's not like trial where you get to wear civilian clothing and you're not chained up. He walked in chained up like the little bitch that he is. And he would just walk in and smile at all the people in pink, right? He's a sick fuck. And the news media would catch him coming and going from court and ask him, Mark Lewis, did you do it? No, I didn't do it, but God bless y'all and have a great day. That kind of shit, smiling at the camera. He's hamming it up and it just burned my ass, man. He just played it. I mean, he loved it. It was like he got off on it every time when he was in the spotlight. So anyway, time progresses, the investigation progresses, and it comes time to prepare for trial. It was more than a year later. I had already gone to the Louisiana State Police as a criminal investigator too. And I had left the sheriff's office and transferred to the Louisiana State Police as a criminal investigator too, out of headquarters in Baton Rouge, which wasn't that far away. But I got called in by Charlotte Hebert. You've heard me talk about her many times. She was absolutely top notch. And Scott Perilou, who's a district attorney, Scott Perilou's go-to for the biggest cases at the time. And now Charlotte has since gone on to be a judge for the 21st Judicial. Anyway, she calls me in and it's like right before trial. We're sitting in her little office and she had the pictures that I had taken of Lewis in the cell of his scratches. And she said, Woody, what do these look like to you? And I looked at them again. And you remember in earlier episodes, I told y'all that I knew they weren't defensive scratches. I've seen it too many times. They weren't gouges. They were almost like little dotted bumps, but significant. But it wasn't a continuous slash or tearing of the skin. It was like lines. And I told her, Charlotte, shut it. You know what? I remember seeing that night and seeing him wiping the blood in the tissue and looking at the scratches and looking at them when I took the photographs of him. And I had him naked in the cell, and he even had a couple on his leg that weren't as prominent as those. She said, yeah, here's a picture right here. I said, yeah. I said, I don't know. I said, I know it's not Caitlin's fingernails. So she said, no, it's not. She said, but look at this. And she had pictures of where Caitlin's body had been found in that bayou in Ascension Parish, but it was daylight photographs. And remember when I went out there that night, it was already dark when they were pulling Caitlin from the water. But I told you about the thick undergrowth and the trees. I mean, it's a perfect spot, the little bitch, to dispose of a body, if you will, because he's in a panic. Like I say, he ran like a little bitch, and then he acted like a little bitch, and if he didn't think it through, all he sees is some thick bushes that he can go into and get cover to dunk Caitlin's body. Well, the pictures that Charlotte had of that area, fuck, it's a briar patch. Briars are bushes that have thousands and thousands of small thorns. When she showed me that, I said, holy shit, Charlotte. I said, I should have fucking known. Because I'm a big hunter and I'm a big fisherman. And I pick dewberries. If y'all know what those are in South Louisiana, and during the springtime, they come up. It's a berry, but they grow in the briar patch. And that's what it was. Fuck, I've been scratched 1,000 times like that. And I don't know why to this day I didn't catch it. But it really wouldn't have mattered, I don't guess. But I should have caught it. But she said, Woody, look. And I was like, fuck, that's it. I said, it's a briar patch. And she said, that's right. She said, he got those scratches when he hurried up and just plunged into those bushes for concealment and dumped her body. And I was like, you're right. I agree with you 1,000%. So we go to trial, and trial began that Monday, and they have what they call voir dire. And it's basically just jury selection. I think they had to run what we call 3 separate panels to get the members for the jury. And a panel, y'all, there's 14 seats in the jury box, and 12 for the regular jurors and 2 for alternates. So they would put 14 people who had been subpoenaed to possibly be a juror in Caitlin's trial. And so the courtroom's full of people, and the judge introduced himself, and I always went to voir dire, but I was sitting over on the side listening. Anyway, so the judge comes, introduces, explains the process, and they bring the first 14 people in, and they ask them questions, they being Charlotte Hebert and McKee was the defense attorney's name. And they'll ask them questions about this and that. And y'all been convicted of a crime, or do you have any family members that have been convicted of a crime? Then they'll read the witness list or the potential witness list. Do you, any of y'all know any of these people? And the prosecution gets so many strikes to cancel out jurors, and the defense gets so many strikes, and then the judge can kick out anybody he wants, right? So they would go through this process and question every potential juror until that panel's over. Let's say they strike 6 off the first panel. So there's 8 left. And then the next panel fills in a 14. Then those 8 are already jurors, right? Been selected the first 8. So they go until all the spots are filled. And I think it went through 3 rounds or panels, and they seated the jury. And it was 8 women and 4 men, and the 2 alternates, one was a man and one was a woman. Now, trial began. And of course, Charlotte gave her an opening statement, and basically, to sum it up, she said, what a piece of shit.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally, designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Mark Lewis is, but of course now she can't say anything about his past conviction. But that they dropped it to attempted simple kidnapping, but it should have been aggravated kidnapping and the whole thing could have been avoided. But she can't say anything about that. But she goes on to lay out her case, not in detail, but saying that the evidence will prove that Mark Lewis killed Caitlin. And then the defense attorney gets up and says, oh, this is all going to be circumstantial evidence and you have to find him beyond a reasonable doubt. You can't do that because nobody can put Caitlin together with Mark Lewis that day, et cetera, blah, 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 whatever. So then we're sequestered. And by we, I mean Ben Ballard, myself, the Louisiana State Police people that are going to testify, and all the witnesses. And sequestered is we're locked out of the courtroom, but so you can't hear other people's testimony or the questions on redirect from the defense. And so you can't change your testimony. It's only fair enough. Doesn't matter. And the statements don't change. I think probably Miss Danette went first and established that Caitlin was her daughter and how tight they were and how Caitlin never went without having her cell phone on and how she spoke to Caitlin when she got off the school bus that day. And I think probably the school bus driver went next. The school bus driver said, yes, they dropped Caitlin off at her house at 3 o'clock that day. And then one of Caitlin's little friends, I think it's her best friend, I think her last name was Bourgeois, testified that she had a call from Caitlin like just right after 3 o'clock. I mean, like soon as she got home, evidently, and as she told Caitlin she'd have to call her back, and she called Caitlin back after 4 p.m. and Caitlin didn't answer. Neighbor who went in the residence and saw Caitlin's book bag on the bed testified. And Charlotte's just basically laying out her case. And it went 26 witnesses, I think, in all that she did in just a couple of days. And the case was laid out like this. Charlotte establishes that Caitlin makes it home through the cell phone records and the bus driver saying she dropped her off. Miss Danette talking to her while she's at home. The friend talking to her and saying she'll have to call her back. And then a representative from E-Tel, which is the local cable television company, but they also do home phone service, like for dirt cheap. You know, if you get a monthly package for cable service, you get a home phone for $9.99 a month, something like that. Caitlin's last incoming call that was answered on her cell phone came from, wait for it, Mark Lewis's residence at 3:06 p.m. She was never heard from again. She never answered her cell phone again. Let's say that. And then we testified, Ben and I testified, and I testified the same thing that I've told y'all already, that I was called out by Ben, and because Danette got home and she called 911 and the uniform guy called Ben and Ben called me, and we went through the process about how we interviewed him in his house. The washer and dryer were going. He had fresh scratches on his face. He takes the comforter out of the dryer. He goes and puts it on the bed. I had Ben go outside and ask the wife, did he ever do the laundry and would there be any reason for him to do the laundry? And she said no. And come back and ask him, and he says, yeah, he does the laundry all the time. Now, you have to remember also, we had the knowledge from Ben Ballard that Craig Simino had called in and gave a statement about Mark Lewis coming to his house and all that transpired after that. So including him being Lewis, asking Simino to alibi him for about 4:30 p.m. that afternoon that Caitlin went missing. Ben testifies to his, I testify to mine. And we build it up all the way up until the arrest and the photograph, you know, of the scratches that I did. Charlotte had them blown up and so the jury could see it and ask me, and I answer. And then trial progresses. The defense attorney, please, fucking dumbass. I mean, he just tried to naturally say that we had tunnel vision, or I had tunnel vision, and I never let the investigation go anywhere else besides Mark Lewis. And I said, you're absolutely right. I said, I never got off of Mark Lewis. And he said, why not? And I said, because the evidence pointed to him. And I said, I had to work this case as any case to conclusion. I said, I'm not telling you, if somebody else had come up and another angle, that it wouldn't have been worked. I said, but I'm telling you, your boy showed up with scratches on his face and he lied about being at work and he lied about going to visit his mama in the hospital and he lied and tried to get Craig Simino to lie to him to alibi him out. Every time I'd say he, I would point at Mark Lewis and I kept pointing at him. He just turned beet fucking red. And I would do that, y'all. Courtroom tricks. I would never look the defense attorney in the face. Every time I'm answering a question, I'm turning to my left and looking at the jury in the eyes and pointing at Mark Lewis saying he lied and he asked for an alibi for the time that Caitlin was murdered or disappeared. And he is the one with the fresh scratches on his face, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty powerful stuff. And I learned that from Kearney Foster. It was probably the most brilliant detective mind you ever of all times. But I watched him in another murder trial when I was a rookie detective do that. And it's very effective, and did it to the point where Lewis actually reached up and grabbed McKee's sleeve and said, make him stop pointing at me. Like, fuck you, Lewis. Of course, I couldn't say that. And so I testified what I had to, and McKee got off of me pretty quick because he realized, hey, I'm not going to shake this guy up. I'm not going to rattle him. And I'm doing more harm here than good because he's up here pointing at my guy, driving home all the bad points about him. So I was pretty much quickly dismissed. Charlotte might have asked me a follow-up question or two. I don't remember, but it wasn't important. Or she, I mean, just would have been because she was sharp. If there was anything McKee might have planted in the juror's mind, she cleared it up. So I'm dismissed, which means I can come back in and sit for the rest of the trial, right? Which I always do. During my testimony, I explained about getting the search warrant for Lewis's truck and having it sent to the crime lab and doing the search warrant on the residence computer and all that stuff. So the Louisiana State Police crime lab people start to testify. Assistant coroner from Ascension Parish, actually testified first, and she testified that Caitlin was strangled and that she was found with her clothes on, all of her clothes on, including two jackets, but her pants were unzipped. Then the crime lab techs, the main one being Patrick Lane, and he's an old school veteran. And Patrick, I hope one day you get to hear my episodes because I have several that include you in it. But Patrick was the chief examiner of firearms and all the different things. I mean, he's just shit. He's the CSI guy. If you ever watch those shows, which I don't, but whoever leads the CSI people, Patrick Lane's the one. I know he had to be the most senior lab technician for Louisiana State Police. So Patrick Lane gets up there and McKee, the defense attorney, starts to go at him and basically talking about the hairs and the blood drops that were found in the backseat of Lewis's truck. And he is trying to discredit Patrick. And Patrick's like, you want me to explain that to you? And the dumbass defense attorney says, I don't know. Do I? And Patrick said, well, let me explain it to you. And then he explained that the blood and the hair were found down low on the seat. And it's his experience that was consistent with the body being dragged from the vehicle. And so it just shut McKee up, right? And I don't know, y'all, let me tell you about the blood real quick. The reason there would have been blood if someone's choked to death, when you crush the neck like that, you actually have blood vessels inside of your neck that are crushed. And I've seen it several times that blood actually comes in the forms of almost spittle that lasts. When they're spitting out, choking up, the blood comes out. So that's where that came from. And the hairs, obviously, Caitlin had, she didn't have short hair. And I think he being shitbag Lewis had her and choked. You know, when you grab somebody like that, you're not going to take your time to move the hair out of the way. So I think he had his hands around her neck and choking her with the hairs in his hands. So that's explained. But then there's other things that are added. His computer comes back. The computer expert testifies that, first of all, somebody at the Lewis residence viewed Caitlin Adell's MySpace profile the night before she was kidnapped and murdered. They also testified, the computer expert testified, that Lewis was watching pornography all day long, pretty much on the computer. I mean, there was nobody else home. The wife was at work and the stepson was in school. That's proven. And so it had to be him, right? Plus, we had the neighbor testify that Lewis's truck was there all day up until 2 p.m., sometime shortly after 2 p.m. when she left to go wherever she noticed it was there. So he's there pretty much all day beating off to porn. We know he checked out her MySpace the night before, and whether that fantasy covered over to the next day. And his employer from the tow truck company takes a stand and testifies that Lewis called in that morning and said he wasn't coming to work. And no, he was not at work and did not get scratches from a tow truck hitting him in the face. Fucking lame excuse, right? And he did not get in a fight that day or the day before at work. And the last time he was there, he had no scratches. It's just Charlotte picking apart everything that Lewis could say, or everything that he did say, and proving him for the piece of shit liar that he is. She being Charlotte, put on the canine handler that came in. Remember I told you about the dog that is trained to smell decomposing flesh? And that man came in and testified that the canine alerted on the washer and dryer and on the guest bedroom area. Boom. And he explained in detail about how the dogs are only trained to smell decaying flesh and how instantly that whatever the chemical is swaps over. I'm no scientist, but you get the gist of it, right? You kill somebody, as soon as you kill them, dogs are trained to pick up whatever scent it is that gives off. So he testifies. Then Charlotte puts on Lewis's stepson. The boy's name was Michael. I think it was his stepson. And he testifies that he did not look at Caitlin's MySpace the night before. So again, that shows that it had to be Lewis, right? And he testified that Lewis did not have scratches on his face. He saw him that morning before he went to school, and that Mark Lewis did not have scratches on his face before he left. So there was another guy. What was his name? There's another guy that Lewis worked with a couple years before at a grocery store when Caitlin was 11 years old. And he went to a housewarming party at Lewis's house, the trailer that we did the search warrant on, and the dog alerted in. But after Caitlin was found murdered and Lewis was charged, this guy came forward and gave a sworn statement that when he went over to the housewarming party, that he saw Caitlin and Mark was standing next to him. Mark Lewis was, and Mark said that he had looked up Caitlin's shorts when she was over one day and that he wanted to hit that, meaning he wanted to have sex with her. Fuck, she was 11 years old, man. And when a question by the defense attorney, the guy says that, hey, you know, I didn't know. I thought maybe he was clowning around or something. I didn't know, but I thought it was important that I came forward and said that after I knew that he had been arrested for her murder. I mean, fuck. So that was another key piece of evidence. And I don't think I'm leaving anything out, y'all. Well, let me do this. Charlotte put on Mark Lewis's daughter. And this is, remember now, when his daughters would come over to play, Caitlin came over every time. And the daughter testified that Caitlin always rode in the front seat, that she never saw her in the back seat of Lewis's truck. Ever. I think that's because as part of Lewis's fantasy and grooming over the 2 years before he killed her. I mean, he's looking at her panties through her shorts on the couch, telling his friends then he wants to hit that. And what does he do for the next 2 years? I mean, he wants her over there all the time so he can continue his fantasy and try to groom and build up to his day, right, of hitting that. And when the daughter testifies that she never, ever sat in the back seat of the truck, she being Caitlin, then that absolutely takes away any reason for there to be Caitlin's DNA evidence in the blood and hair low down in the back seat of the truck. And the little girl did well on the stand until Charlotte asked her to point out her dad in the courtroom. And the little girl pointed at him and she started crying. So that pretty much wrapped it up. And I mean, there's 26 witnesses, y'all. I know I'm leaving something out, but you get the gist of the case and how it was handled. And in the closing arguments, the defense attorney's whole deal was that the cops got it wrong. They got tunnel vision. They never looked at anybody else. It was circumstantial. We couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Nobody can put Lewis and her together. And you know, just basically saying we got it all wrong, and that he said that anybody would have got up there and testified against Mark Lewis just because he seemed like such an evil guy, because he was accused of killing a little girl, right? And so, fuck you. That's weak. I guess his attempt to cover up the guy who works at a supermarket being at Mark Lewis's housewarming party and him saying he looked up her shorts, the fucking pervert. And Craig Simoneau, y'all know about him from the previous episodes, key witness. He testified to everything we talked about before. And anyway, that's it. So the defense attorney says we got it wrong. Then Charlotte closes in. And what I won't forget from her closing is she basically sums everything up and she ends it with this. You go back and you find him guilty of murder and you come out and you give the guilty verdict. Guess what? She turned and she pointed at Mark Lewis. She said, he won't be surprised. He already knows he's the murderer. And that was pretty powerful shit. And Charlotte was good, right? So they take him out, the jury, and well, the judge gives instructions on what you can find them guilty of, what have you, what not. And the jury goes out to do the vote. And I'm going to stop it right there because I have some very, very important material to add in at this point before the jury returns with their verdict next week. And it's a way too long to go into in this episode, but I do believe I'll be concluding the Screwdriver Red series next week, but it's very important that you tune in. There's more murder and I believe more victimization by Mark Lewis that's not even known.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yet, and wouldn't be known until many, 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 many years later after the trial. So y'all stay tuned, and it's important. It's a hard story to tell. The next one section is going to be pretty emotional, but you won't regret it. Okay, so that's it. Tune in next week for the conclusion of the Screwdriver Red series. And I'm your host, Woody Overton. And don't let me catch you down on Murder by You. All right, everybody, I told you at the beginning of the show, stay tuned. We'll do some shout outs and talking and stuff and thank yous and what have you. So Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, just over 3 months old. And this morning we passed 83,000 downloads. And last night, our private Facebook group that's titled Real Life, Real Crime, Friends, Fans, and Crew passed 1,000 members. Unbelievable, y'all. And if you're not a member of that page, you need to check it out. We have three Facebook pages. We have the one that's open to the general public, and that's just a Real Life, Real Crime fan page. And then we have the one I'm telling you about that passed 1,000 members. You have to actually ask to join that group. You have to be approved. And that's because my dream team of moderators, they're awesome. And one day I'll special just on them, but they are from all over the world, and they have to screen everybody that wants to join the private group, because you get a lot of trolls and you get some shitheads that want to start trouble, whatever. And in the group, we don't discuss politics or religion. There's no hate speech or anything like that. It's strictly about real life, real crime. And there's a lot of bonus material in the episodes and a lot of contests, and just so awesome. All the fans from around the world sharing their thoughts and about different things. Shit, it's just a plethora of information and fun. I mean, I'm on it like 1400 times a day, it seems like. But I was looking at the stats last night when we hit 1,000. And we had almost 13,000 posts and clicks and likes and shares in the last 29 days, over 13,000 interactions. And that's a lot. If you're not a member, check it out. I mean, it's for your benefit. I don't get paid for you being in the group or anything like that. But I think if you like real life, real crime, then you'd be remiss to not check it out. We have one dream team moderator who we're just going to call her a researcher, Karen Ortolano, who comes up with shit that you wouldn't believe. She's found a lot of articles on our episodes, which we're going to be posting to our regular website soon. And I mean, she's found articles on me from my career back way back when that I didn't even know existed. Just a lot of super cool stuff. And Dream Team moderators, I love y'all. Appreciate you. You know who you are. And we're rocking it. We're killing it. And then our third Facebook page is Real Life, Real Crime. Lanyap, it's a Cajun word for something extra, free, or bonus. On the Lanyap page, was started by my wife, Cindy, and it's a way for fans to interact about things that they like, hobbies or whatever it is they're growing in their garden or what have you. And I've requested to exchange beers and hot sauces and stuff with different fans. And Anthony Parliman sent me a hell of a box of beers of flavors you knew couldn't dream of. And we did a video on that, and it's on that page. And then the other day Cindy and I got in a package from Cassie Wallace, who's from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And she sent us some most delicious Kringle. It's not a cake. I don't know which is that, like a huge pastry thing. There was two of them. Then she sent me a like four different bottles of Bloody Mary mix and a thing of hot sauce. So Cassie, I appreciate that. And that video is there. And we have another Dream Team moderator post on there in the evening times when he's cooking or doing his garden, Ryan Horan, my buddy, and Jenny White, whose husband does the most outstanding coins in the world. I'm pretty sure Lanyap was created the page after you sent us the packages of coins, but Jenny White has sent us two packages, and one with some coins, and then she sent one to my wife with a keychain on it. Anyway, those videos, if they're not on the Lanyap page, then go to our YouTube channel. It's Real Life, Real Crime Podcast. And you have to go to the little search engine box thingy, whatever they call it, on YouTube, and you type in Real Life Real Crime Podcast, and it'll bring you to our page. And it has every one of our episodes, every one of our bonus episodes. It has the videos I'm telling you about, and it'll have more videos that we're going to be uploading from the Lanyap page on it. And so y'all go to YouTube and subscribe, okay? And just check us out. Now, Patreon members, well, you know, it's awesome, y'all. The Patreon is a way to help monetize Real Life Real Crime, the podcast. And I know we're not profitable by any stretch of means of the matter. And it takes a lot of time and effort to do this, but we do it because we love it. But Patreon is a way for members to support us financially by pledging X amount, and whatever amount they pledge, they get a certain gift tier or gifts or bonus materials, what have you, from Real Life Real Crime and me. And so I want to take a minute to talk about our latest couple patrons. Okay. One is Maureen. I don't know what your last name is, Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N. And Maureen has already messaged me since she became a patron member about an idea for as to who to have for guests on the show. And Maureen, we're absolutely going to do that. I talked to that person today and she's down with it. Maureen, thank you for being a patron member. We love you. Thank you for your support. It's awesome and it really helps out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then we have Miss Meg. And their last name is M-I-H-A-L-Y. I said Mahaley. Meg Mahaley, join. Meg, we really appreciate you. I love you. And thank you for supporting the show. It's huge. And don't forget to use y'all's hotline numbers where you can call in anytime and say anything you want or ask any question you want, et cetera. And when I get enough, I do hotline episodes and they've been a huge success in the past. I'm talking about we had thousands of downloads instantly off of them. So people like it, y'all. But the Patreon members, if you don't want to use your voice, you hear me say this every week, but I'm going to say it again. You wouldn't believe how many people don't want to hear their own voice, right? So if you don't want to use your own voice, text me your message and I'll read it on the show. It's a fun thing, y'all, and we enjoy it. So thank you, Meg. Now, this next two, John Laudermilk and then Tanya Hano. That's H-A-N-O. These two I worked with. Now, you heard me in a couple episodes talk about John Laudermilk, especially if you're a patron member, because I think most of John's episodes were locked up in the patron vault. And John was my supervisor in uniform patrol at the sheriff's office. And we were peas in the pod, right? We even share the same date of birth, February 5th. And although I won't say who's older and who's younger, John, like personalities, and he would go on into detectives. And then I went into detectives and we were also on the special response team or SWAT team together. John's a super class A guy. He was a great law enforcement officer. He's out of law enforcement now. Also, he's no longer in it, but great guy. And he will be on our show in the immediate future. Love you, buddy. All right. Tanya Hano, one of my first dispatchers I ever had in law enforcement and a lifelong, it seems like I say lifelong, 20-year-long friend now. Tanya was super duper, just absolute best dispatcher a person could ask for. She knew our personalities. She knew if sugar turned to shit, she knew it. I mean, if she knew she didn't hear from me in a couple minutes or she ever called me and I was out on a call and I didn't answer, she needed to send the posse, right? Because it was going down. Anyway, we hung out a lot in our off time. And her sister and brother-in-law were longtime dear friends of mine. I hadn't seen them in a long time. But Tanya, you tell Tony and Kim hello. And I love you, sweetie. And if you can come on the show, you got to come on as a guest. And we'll talk about some of the funny shit, right? Like the patron episode we just locked up this week. Tanya is responsible, one of the two dispatchers responsible for sending me to that call. And it's really, really fucking funny. If you get a chance, listen to it. If you're not a patron member, you want to check it out. It's rlrcpodcast.com. Check out the tiers and join up. And thank you, Tanya. We love you so much. And y'all, if you're not a patron member, I don't care. I love each and every one of you. I appreciate you. There's a reason we are breaking records and downloads for this short of a time. And that's because all of y'all are liking and sharing and subscribing. I can't ask for more than that, right? I mean, I get messages from people all over the world that just make my day. Little me, right? Who would have known? Who could have guessed, other than my wife, who could have guessed that me telling stories would have been such a hit. And I'm humbled by it, but I'm also having the time of my life. And so if you would just tell two other people that you know about Real Life, Real Crime, if you enjoy it, or leave us a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to it. I mean, we're on every platform. Okay. I don't think there's anything out there that we're not on. Stitcher and whatever. I don't know all of them. Real Life, Real Crime, wherever you listen to it, leave us a review and I appreciate you. If y'all could do that and subscribe and just share it so we can continue to grow. And I love each and every one of you and I appreciate it. And we are on Instagram and we are on Twitter. And I told you we're on YouTube and three times on Facebook. And there's some other platforms that the Dream Team are looking at. And it's just, we're growing leaps and bounds. And I love each and every one of you. And I tell you what, if you're not a member of the Facebook group, you better do it before Thursday, because this is the week we're rolling out to Crime Con in New Orleans, which is right down the street from me, practically 35, 40 minutes away. And we're going to meet on Thursday night. And I don't imagine we'll stop until Sunday when we come home with hangovers. But so every night we're going to go live to our Facebook pages and I'm going to do a live polygraph and we're going to do some live stuff from the meet and greets. And it's going to be pretty stupid. There's no telling what's going to happen, but I promise you this, that it'll be unedited and live, raw and uncensored, just like Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. So y'all check that out and join up and share it. And I don't know exactly the hours that the live broadcast will be going on, but I can tell you they're going to be in the evening times. When by evening, I mean after 6 o'clock PM. So be on the lookout for that. And when we get back from Crime Con, we'll have a whole new platform. We have new equipment. We have people that are helping us with the audio and video productions and to make it more consistent and better. So that is coming. Even though we have new equipment, we're still learning it. We promise you we're going to get better each and every episode. And I think we've upheld that promise so far. We're not perfect. We never will be in my mind, but we're working on it. I promise you we'll be better. And real quick, I got to say something about Tyler Allen. Allen, it's A-L-L-E-N, The Minds of Madness. We did a promo for them last week. His show is just freaking amazing. And he's won all kinds of awards in Canada. But you know what? He is a super dude. He is one of the ones that reached out to actually help us with the audio portions of Real Life, Real Crime. So you can't say enough about a class act. This guy's at the top of the game. He's like number one in Canada and, or at least, I mean, one podcast of the year award up there and all that stuff and best voice and all that. And he wants to help us. I mean, he didn't have to do that. So Tyler, we appreciate you and Beck, your wife. That's Tyler Allen with Minds of Madness. And I'm going to end today's episode finally, y'all, telling you about Mike Burton and Genuine Chit Chat. Now, Mike wanted to cross promo with us and we absolutely love it. He's not in true crime per se. He just interviews people from all different walks of life, from the CEO to whomever. It's interesting and really it's about the art of conversation. He does a real good job with it and he's asked me to be a guest on the show and I think that'll air sometime in September. So Mike Burton, really appreciate you. And we're going to play his promo now. So y'all give him a look or a listen, I guess you would say. So we're going to play the promo now.
Hi, I'm Mike from the Genuine Chit Chat podcast, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. I speak to a wide variety of guests, including CEOs of businesses, psychologists, authors, musicians, travelers, people suffering with physical and mental illnesses, and everyone in between. Where we speak about a large variety of topics, including music and movies and pop culture, but also some more controversial topics, including drug reform, political correctness, and many more. No subject is off limits. You can find us on all the usual podcast places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, as well as on YouTube. And you can follow us on all the usual social media places. And to be clear, I don't expect everyone listening to enjoy every episode of my show. What I do think is that due to the wide variety of guests and topics, that there'll be at least one episode that each person listening will enjoy. So if you still appreciate the art of conversation and want to hear honest conversations with interesting people, then be sure to check out Genuine Chit Chat in all the usual places.
Okay, y'all, it's Mike Burton with Genuine Chit Chat, the podcast. Cool dude. When you go check him out. Let him know that Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, and Woody Overton sent you. All right. I love y'all. All. Love you all. Y'all. And I'm saying goodbye for today. Tune in next week. You got to hear this conclusion. It's going to blow your mind. And tune in next week. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Don't let me catch you down on Murder by You.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.